The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Danny Miles, Lexi Wrinkley. I have a full studio in here today. I've got the whole team. I've got Lexi Wrinkley and Carla Palmer and Aviana Barrientos. I've got Rosalie Robinson and Daniel Tagg, and we've got a lot to talk about today. So what's going on with all of you guys?
You know, this weather's just awesome. It's so energizing. I wake up and I want to get out and do stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Pull out my sweater.
Well, yeah. And I've been sleeping really well with the weather.
I slept so well last night.
Me too.
It's just like, it's nice and cool, but it's like a natural cool in the place. Yeah. And you get your nice warm covers. Put something over my bald head.
And there's a difference between that natural cold.
Yes.
I experienced it my whole childhood growing up in upstate New York.
Me too, in Colorado.
It's such a difference because my air conditioning is either too cold or there's just something about it. And the way it blows and stuff, I'm like, I need to move my bed or something because I don't sleep well because of it.
I'm in the exact same way. I was actually just thinking of that as I came in today. I was like,
really?
Man, it's like it was colder in my place last night than I said it on the air conditioning, but yet it felt warmer/more comfortable. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. I kept my AC completely off last night. It felt so good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. What a great feeling. What a great feeling. Isn't that a song?
No, not that tune.
I'm not sure.
It could be.
I don't think I've heard that one.
No song about air conditioning.
Where's Danny? He would know.
Danny's in there.
I'm sorry, Ken.
He's in there.
Okay.
Well, we've got a really big show coming up today. We've got Ryan Lauer. He's going to be talking about GM soybean oil causes less obesity and insulin resistance, but it is harmful to liver function. Not sure I believe anything that any scientist comes up with a mouse anymore. You know, I'm serious because if you think about it, and I do a ton of reading, you know, everybody on the show does, and I came to this thought actually came to me as I was leaving my property this morning.
Who's paying for it?
Well, first of all, who's
who's
paying for it? And yeah, exactly. That's the first thing you need to ask. Mm-hmm. But secondly, why in the hell do we need a mouse to figure out what we are? You know, here's the thing. This is a red flag going up. If you need a mouse to come up with a study to find out if something's safe, how about this? How about just not eat it, consume it, do it, whatever it is? Because it can't be healthy if you have to bring a mouse
in. Well, you know, you can ask Ryan this, but I think it's so hard to actually get a human trial that you have, no matter how healthy it could be, you have to start with mice. I think this would be a great question for Ryan, because I just think it's hard to get approval for human studies, period.
But why do we need to even do that? Why don't we just eat what the earth and God gave us? How about that for,
people,
you know, right? Directly out of nature and trying to come up with all these artificial sweeteners. I pulled the history of sugar and sweeteners. This is a very, what do I want to say?
Was interesting.
It's very thorough.
A lot of that.
It's very thorough, but it's got every single sweetener on the planet listed here. And you know, because I'm always
natural or artificial.
You know, getting approached by advertisers, and I have to vet their products. Right. And most often, I say no, because they're not clean enough.
Right.
You know, there's always something in them, whether it be sucralose or allulose or aspartame. And there's so much trickery going on, or xylitol. I'll tell you who I like to listen to, because I think she's the least bought and paid for, if she even is at all. I think that Dr. Nasha Winters is a true scientist, and what she writes is very truthful. She wrote the book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, and in that book, she has like this big of a paragraph on sweeteners, okay? And it says basically, artificial sweeteners, avoid them. If you must have sugar, make it cane, you know, basically stick to what the earth gave us.
The natural.
Be natural. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And keep your sugar to a very small minimum.
Sure.
You know, and we all like, I mean, if you read the history of sugar, it is so mm-hmm. crazy. These were like drug cartels back in the, I'm serious. Sugar's.
Well, no, my face is because my son asked me every day, okay, what's the worst and most addictive drug? And I look at him, I say, sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He goes, yeah.
It's true. Yeah. More so than cocaine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Lights up the same place lights in the brain as cocaine, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But don't you agree, Daniel, you guys, that if you've got to include a mouse and do a study on something, it's probably not good.
I have mixed feelings. Again, but I think overall you're right. We just need to put stuff that was naturally God-given on the earth
right.
in our bodies.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And why do we need to genetically modify
then
soy?
We wouldn't be afraid to do human study on it, right? Mm-hmm. If it were all natural, we could just
exactly.
Yeah, that's what your point is.
Yes, my point. And it's like, so if you have to do a study on a mouse, I say just avoid it, whatever that substance is. And don't believe what you read in these white papers or these scientific, because most of them are bought and paid for. If you start reading about the history of even sucralose, you're like, oh my gosh, it's just as bad as aspartame, which we know is a known carcinogen
right.
And causes cancer. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one? Wasn't it recently linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and also leukemia, and the same with sucralose, but they try to keep it on the DL because they don't want people to know. I mean, sucralose is used in 90 different countries, and it's in thousands and thousands of products.
Right.
So, it destroys 50% of your gut microbiome.
Yeah, that's a huge one right there.
That's a huge one. Yeah. That's all I need to know. And I'm not putting in my body. I'm fighting to keep my microbiome. That's my new thing now. So when I eat, I say, what is this doing to my microbiome?
Mm, nice. Eat lots of resistant starches.
Yeah. Okay, so those for people that don't know, because I actually gave this speech, a short one, because I'm not the expert here about resistant starch. Explain to our listeners, Daniel.
So it's really cool. I don't know as much of the science about it as Sean, but basically you take things like potatoes, mashed potatoes, or rice. Those are the two big ones. And if they're cold, they actually get digested as a fatty acid and feed your good gut bacteria, basically become similar to a probiotic. So it does not get processed as a carb. So the heat and the temperature, something about the molecular structure changes, and you absorb it as something totally different. So if you look at just a potato, like a whole raw potato with the skin on and everything, it's a great source of fiber, great resistant starch. But then you break it down and mash it up, warm it up, heat it up, it actually becomes a much higher glycemic index than sugar. So technically, at that point, if it's hot or warm mashed potatoes, it can potentially be worse for you than sugar as far as glycemic index.
Interesting.
Whereas
so I can have my mashed potatoes and gravy on Thanksgiving, just let them get cold first.
Correct. Cold mashed potatoes are great. It's still a resistant starch. It's not as much of a resistant starch as when it was raw, but it's still resistant starch. The gravy, as long as there's no sugar in it, then you're golden.
Mm. Yeah. Carla, what did you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say it's the processing. You know, anything that's more processed
is broken down. Yeah.
I mean, it's. I mean, that's really what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
That was it. That's all I have on that.
The cool thing about resistant starches, though, is the more I learn about nutrition, it's less about limiting yourself and just, okay, how am I having it and when am I having it?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very little do you have to limit yourself with natural things. It's just when, how, and then how much.
Well, and if you think about how animals eat, you know, they eat what they're supposed to eat, what nature provides for them. I had the cutest little squirrels in my front yard this morning. Just so cute. You know, I put my berries or my blueberries, my strawberries get a little old, or maybe, you know how you'll have them in your refrigerator and you'll forget.
Mm-hmm.
And you might eat a couple and they're not like as fresh as you might like. So a lot of times I'll toss the remainder of them out to the squirrels, and they're so darn cute out there. You should see them like holding it like it's a little nut, like a strawberry.
It's
so cute. Like just being in awe.
See, that's their sweet.
And
that's their sugar and sweet.
Exactly. And that's where we should get our sugar from. Is that? But we've gotten so far away from it.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you want your fruit extra sweet, you know, put some whipped cream on it or some, you know.
A little honey. Maybe.
Some honey. I was going to say honey.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I read in that article on the sweetener when it talked about honey. I'll have to reread it, but it was something crazy like 70% of the honey that we eat in America is produced in China.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's horrible. Oh,
yeah. No,
have
I'm
you
serious.
Ever actually gone to like
it.
A honey farm or bee farm?
I have a bee farm right across. I have a bee farm right adjacent to my property.
The difference of
the Sunnyvale honey.
Oh, really?
It's right next to my house.
But the difference between having it straight from the honeycomb and mm-hmm. having it in the store is night and day.
Yeah,
oh
it's
my
amazing.
Straight from the honeycomb yep. is mm-hmm. like oh so
yeah.
good.
It's so delicious.
Yeah.
Well, and it'll pick up the flavors of the wildflowers around it and stuff mm-hmm. too, depending upon you know mm-hmm. what kind of honey it is or what, where it's farmed. But yeah. Good stuff. Really good stuff. So Ryan's going to be talking about that. And Daniel, you're going to be talking about working out with weights. And I have a question.
Without weights.
Yeah. And I have a question. I'll pull it out of my phone from one of our listeners, Darnell, in Indianapolis,
cool.
who wanted me to talk with you about some things today on the air. And Rosalie Robinson is going to be talking about answering those tricky interview questions. I hate trickery. Why not just be straight? What's wrong with us? All right, everyone. You know what? We've got a great show coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hey, Bernadette here. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where everything was gluten-free? Well, now there is. It's the Gluten-Free Expo, and it's coming to Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. Bring the whole family, take free classes, buy hard-to-find items, and get coupons and samples of hundreds of delicious gluten-free products. Get your tickets online at gfexpo.com. That's gfexpo.com or at the door. Mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. The Gluten-Free Expo at Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. And don't forget, mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. See you there.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Daniel Tagg in studio, Rosalie Robinson, and Carla Palmer. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer. He's a fitness trainer, and Rosalie Robinson is an expert in human resources. And Ryan Lowry is a PhD student at Concordia University. He has published over 80 manuscripts, abstracts, and book chapters on human performance and sports nutrition. He also serves as the president of the Applied Science and Performance Institute in Tampa, Florida. You can find him on Twitter at RyanLowry14. That's at RyanLowry14. Always love having this guy on the show. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks. How are you?
I'm great. And I'm anxious to talk about this. So our topic today is covering an article that was in Science Daily about genetically modified soybean oil causes less obesity and insulin resistance, but it is harmful to liver function. So what can you give us a summary about what these researchers have recently found?
Yeah, so it's an interesting article, and I kind of went through and read a lot of it, and the research study that they actually did was intriguing. But basically, they compared these oil. They compared a GM genetically modified soybean oil than just to a regular soybean oil.
Okay.
And basically, they found that it caused less obesity and insulin resistance, but yet it was still harmful to liver function.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to keep in mind is that with these studies, it's difficult to say, like, oh, does that mean it's healthier? Does that mean it's worthwhile to have a genetically modified version versus a non? Like, at the end of the day, both of them weren't healthy in some regard for the animals that were consuming them. So it's that's the way to approach certain animal research studies like this.
Well, I find it interesting because this is a registered trademark. This new genetically modified oil is named Plenish with a registration beside it. So my mind immediately goes to money. They're trying to sell this product. They're trying to make it into something good. And that's why they're spending the money to get it registered and trademarking it and all those things that we do in business to put our grips on whatever it is we want to. And so I'm suspect right out of the gate. What do you say to me?
Yeah, no, so it's interesting. So basically what they tried to do is, we know that with soybean oil, it's used a lot in cooking and in processes that take place for making a lot of the fast food items that we see around
yes.
in today's society.
And
what they tried to do...
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, what they tried to do with Plenish is they tried to make the fatty acid composition of the oil, that's why they genetically modified it,
mm-hmm.
similar to an olive oil.
Right.
Well, interesting. And they tried to do that to make it healthier.
There you go. Also, to brand it, to try to compare it.
Right.
Everybody does it. Not everybody, but a lot of these big companies do it. There is still some transparency in food, I might add. But to compare this genetically modified soybean oil, which, by the way, is the cheapest in the world, it's probably the cheapest oil in the world. To compare it to olive oil, to me, is very disrespectful to Italians and the olive oil industry.
Right.
We've worked very hard. We've killed a lot of people, you know, to make sure that olive oil is supreme. I'm joking, of course, but I am making people laugh, and that's my job. So that's me. But what do you say to all of this, Ryan?
No, it's interesting, and I understand their approach from, obviously, they're trying to monetize it, but my thought is if they can take soybean, because unfortunately it's going to be years, maybe decades, before people completely stop utilizing it. So my thought is if they can take something and mm-hmm. make it better than the alternative in some regard, where they're trying to at least mimic and lower, which we know the linoleic acid is what's driving a lot of that inflammation and inflammatory mm-hmm. response that we get with the soybean oil. If they can alter the fatty acid composition to maybe make it so it's not as bad and companies start using that instead of the alternative,
mm-hmm.
then I would look at it as a win in that perspective. Ideally, they go away from it completely. But we all know that they're always going to stick with whatever the cheapest option is. And if this can be the same price, but potentially offer some better benefits than the alternative, then hopefully they start implementing it.
I respectfully take the other side. I hope that they don't start selling this stuff, because I'm completely against genetically modified anything. We don't have enough research done yet to understand really the true ramifications long term of what genetically engineered and genetically modified foods are going to do to the human race. And so because of that,
I
would always, I would rather be safe than sorry.
And proceed with caution.
With caution. Thank you, Carla. Carla Palmer is a new addition to the show. Ryan, can't wait for you to meet her. She's brilliant. She's really brilliant. She knows a lot about a lot. And I love having her in studio with us. And so what else do you want people to know about oil in general? What do you feel are the healthiest oils out there?
Yes. And I know I might get a little from the American Heart Association, but I'm a huge advocate of coconut oil. I love coconut oil for not only skin, but just cooking low heat, things with it. I mean, I love coconut oil.
I
try
too.
And cook everything I can in coconut oil. So I think, and of course, being Italian, I love a good olive
mm-hmm.
oil. But I think those are the better alternatives. I think, unfortunately, in the food industry, we faced a lot of things, and whether they're a lot of things are genetically modified, a lot of things aren't. But by the time they're done cooking their 15th batch of French fries in it, mm-hmm. who knows what's going on in that
right.
oil that they have going on? So I just really hope that we start, and I think we are starting to see a more educated consumer go and say, you know what, let's mm-hmm. start questioning more of these items and question where they're actually coming from.
Right.
So that way they can make better decisions, because they know, like you said, it affects their long-term health.
Well, yeah, and they're talking about in our mouse experiments. Well, you know, it says in our mouse experiments, olive oil produced essentially identical effects as Plenish. Sorry, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I don't care what they say. I am not buying it. But moreover, what about what happens when you take that oil? Let's say you take that genetically modified soybean oil Plenish and you put it in a fryer and you raise the temperature to 500 or 600 degrees and you fry stuff in it. What happens to it then? And does it change the molecular or the chemical breakdown of it, and can it potentially do harm that way? I don't think they had any fryers in this laboratory, right?
Exactly. We don't know, and that's the key point that you said, is that even with the stuff that's currently out on the market, which is even scarier, it's like these are just some concepts and ideas that these people have, but even things that are out there on the market, you have no idea what happens. Things change completely. There's something called oxidation that takes place when
right.
some of these fats are cooked at temperatures, and they'll be like, oh, well, we tested it when it's cooked at a temperature. Sure, but that doesn't mean it's going to act the same way when mm-hmm. it's cooked at that temperature all day long,
right.
repeatedly, with different things going in and out of that fryer. It can rapidly change, and we have no idea what's going on with it.
Right. Well, and let's not forget, it is harmful to liver function. So, that's kind of like a no-brainer. Something that's going to hurt your liver, why would you put it in your body? You need your liver to live, right?
Exactly. And we need it. And the thing is this, no matter what, and this is the caution with any oil, is not obviously stay away from these as much as possible, but with any oil, we need to make sure that we're paying attention to the fatty acid composition of them, making sure we're getting in more of things like omega-3 fatty acids, which mm-hmm. you see in like fish oil, versus like the omega-6s, which is what you see in a lot of these cooking oils and that commonly come up. And when they get oxidized, they tend to turn mm-hmm. more towards a higher amount of trans fat, which we definitely don't want. So just being cognizant of that.
Well, again, I go back to whatever the earth provides for us naturally is what we should be eating, not stuff that has to be tested on a mouse in a laboratory to see if it's passable for human consumption because it's cheap to produce. And the food industry is a multi-trillion dollar business, and everyone needs to remember that. And, you know, it's all about profit. It's all about profit. Obviously, if they cared about our health, they wouldn't have approved things like aspartame and sucralose and all these things that are not healthy for the human body. Okay, I'm off
exactly.
my soapbox.
No, I love it. I mean, you bring up a great point, is eat as much, like, eat what the earth provides. The earth provides us coconuts, and we can get coconut oil from it. So
I love coconuts, too.
I love it. Yeah, right. So I absolutely love that approach of the whole foods, trying to get it as natural as possible.
Well, and let me add that, did you see the newest Dr. Oz thing where he compared 6 tablespoons of coconut oil to a whole tray of 12 cheeseburgers with the bun and everything, and said that the 6 tablespoons of coconut oil had more saturated fat than all the hamburgers and the fake orange cheese and the buns and all that? Carla's the one that showed it to me yesterday. Have you seen it yet, Ryan?
I haven't seen that. No, I'm going to have to look that up.
Okay, so
I was washing my car, and I saw that little snippet of it, and I just, what? You know, they yeah. lift it up like all dramatic. You know, they lifted up the
It's on Dr. Oz, yeah.
Yeah, on Dr. Oz. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, with it's these two, not the same. There's no comparison.
With these two girls standing by going, oh, you know, like they're, you know, it's just, it was so cheesy. No yeah. pun intended. All right, Ryan, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right, that's Ryan Lowry. You can find all of our guest experts at OneLifeRadio.com. Listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or Apple Podcasts. You can go to our website, OneLifeRadio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, guys. It's me, Bernadette. You know I would never mislead you. When I first heard about the Squatty Potty, I was like, what? And now I can't even imagine my life without it. Get your Squatty Potty at Target, Vitamin Shoppe, Kohl's, or Costco, or online at SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Poo-poo-pee-doo.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Daniel Tagg in studio with me and Rosalie Robinson and Carla Palmer. Daniel is an orthokinetic. He's going to give it to you, all right. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He is certified in orthokinetics and biomechanics of resistance training. He is a licensed massage therapist, and Daniel holds belts in three different martial arts systems, and he was a wildland fighter. I thought about you this morning when I saw the
wildland
news feed. Firefighter.
Yeah, there we go.
Wild. What did I say?
I was a wildland fire.
Oh, fire.
Wildland fighter is what you call me.
Oh, a firefighter.
There we go. I fight the wild.
Well, you do fight the wild. You go out on your camping expeditions all by yourself and fight the wild.
I do.
Have you been chased by a bear anytime and during those?
I've never been chased by a bear. I've run into quite a few bears, but I've never been chased by one.
No, so. You know, I have this friend who's scared to death of bears, and her family loves to go on these camping trips all the time. It drives her crazy. She is petrified of bears. So if you see a bear, what is the first? Should you just like not make eye contact with them? What should you do?
Well, the big thing is as long as you don't surprise them, they don't have any cubs next to them.
Oh, the
right?
Cubs.
The cubs are when you're in big danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see them, just kind of let them know you're there. Make some noise so that that you're not surprising them, right?
Right.
And then just go the opposite way. It's the bears
probably
are very,
singing through the forest would be a good idea.
It actually is, because it lets everything know that you're there.
Yes.
Like when you're walking and hiking, you know, carry a keychain or something that's rattling, something that's loud, because then all of nature knows you're there. You don't surprise them. Most of the time when you get, you know, attacked by a rattlesnake or a bear or whatever, it's because you surprise them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, and when you've got cubs, well, that's where the expression came
Mama
from.
Bear.
Yeah,
Mama bear, baby bear, yeah, watch out.
You do whatever you can to get away at that point and hope they're big enough that they can't follow you up the tree.
Oh, yeah.
That's about your best guess.
Yeah.
And just.
What would you do if a bear follows you up a tree? How does that work?
I would take out my gun and shoot it.
Oh. A baby?
I mean, yeah.
It's me or them.
If it's coming after me to hurt me, I mean, if it leaves me alone, I'm going to leave it alone. But if it tries to take my life, I'm not going to let it do it.
Yeah, so, I understand, of course. You'd have to protect yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't enjoy it, but...
Well, so I want to ask you this before we... Today, we're going to be talking about basically doing the prison workout and how to survive with no weights, what you can do if you don't have any equipment. But one of our listeners, Darnell, wanted me to ask you... Let me see. He talks about... he says, hey, I have a request for the show, Staying Fit in a Busy World, Mental Physical Side. What are some good exercises if you are on the go a lot?
And he's a coach himself. He is a manager and coach of a blind baseball team. Isn't that sweet?
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I would say one of the best ways is if you're with a baseball team, hopefully you have access to some kind of facility. So I would do high intensity interval training on a bike. Like on a bicycle, like, you know, the static bikes.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the best ways just to maintain overall health, period, is the high intensity interval training, the HIIT interval training.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's because it's a lot easier on your knees too, right?
It is. Yeah. If he's in good shape and he's out there on the field and stuff before the games and all that, he could also just do sprints out there. You know, do about 5 or 6 sprints with about a minute and a half rest in between, go all out for about 10 seconds.
And burpees. Burpees will kick your you-know-what.
Exactly. So burpees, and then you could do burpees into squats. A lot of the exercises that we're going to talk about today, you could do anywhere on the road while you're doing that. But the best one for time efficiency is going to be the high-intensity interval training.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope that works for him and or anyone else out there listening wanting to just get in shape quickly and it doesn't have, you know, a lot of time.
Right.
And the high, you're right, though, because that's what I do. My time is so limited when I do. But last night, you know, I danced again. I got 2 amazing hours of just
nice,
quiet,
very nice,
rock music in my home. But, okay. So how do you do a workout without weights?
So it's just being creative with how you use gravity as a resistance to your body
mm-hmm.
weight, right? So you're using body weight as far as lining to gravity and doing a workout there. And then the key is make sure that you're going to failure, but being failure of form, just like I've talked about a million times in here, it's making sure it's not just failure of you can't get one more push-up, it's you can't get one more good push-up of getting it from the muscles that you need to get it from while stabilizing other places.
Mm-hmm.
That's failure. And then move to the next body part really quick. And again, you're going to get it done quicker, more efficiently, and you're getting pretty good, darn good cardiovascular workout at that point as well.
Well, yeah, and it shows some of the pictures of these guys, you know, and I don't know if these are actual prisoners.
Right.
They seem dressed pretty trendy for being prisoners, I just wanted to say. But it says no gear, total body blast, and some of the things that they're doing seem so simple, and yet, you know, these guys are built.
It's very creative. And who knows if those guys that are in the pictures are just doing body weight stuff. They might also be doing weights. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But there is good research with if you keep it high intensity as far as, you know, making sure you're taxing out your muscles and you're getting a lot of volume on them, you can build really good muscle mass with body weight exercises. I don't think it's quite as efficient as weights, but definitely still healthy. But he has some really unique exercises that
mm-hmm.
bring, like, he does a lot of partner exercises in there. So there's one that has a picture right there where one person is kind of doing a squat. They're holding a squat and just in the middle of nowhere, holding his arms up. And another guy is putting his feet on the guy who's squatting knees.
Mm-hmm.
And
wheelbarrowing.
Yeah, he's wheelbarrowing. Yeah. And he's basically doing push-ups off of that. So you can do push-ups either on the ground or with your feet higher. If you're doing push-ups with your feet higher, you are going to work a little bit more the upper pecs while doing that. But you also need to make sure that you have enough kind of external rotation or kind of if you butt your arm up into a lat pull position, you have to externally rotate your arms to get there. That's the external rotation. So
mm-hmm.
if you only have from 90 degrees, if you only get up a couple degrees and then your feet are really high, your shoulders do not have the range of motion to do that particular exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd still say with body weight stuff, you need to really make sure that you do some general sense of range of motion on yourself to make sure you can do them. The one thing, there's a couple exercises in there that I would stay away from being wall sits. They're a great exercise, but Newton's law of every reaction has an equal and opposite reaction. I believe that was Newton, right?
I think so.
Anyway, so if you're pushing back against the wall, okay, the wall's pushing back at you, okay? And where does that come at? It comes out of your knees, which basically the femur, which is kind of the bigger bone in your lower body, and the tibia, which is kind of the ankle bone. The femur is being shoved over that tibia.
Oh.
And this thing that we're always trying to avoid being shear force,
mm-hmm.
that is a pure shear force. So mm-hmm. not great for the knees. I would just say do the squat, and just don't lean against the wall. You can still do the squat, stay low, still get the heart rate up, and just don't do it next to the wall.
Hey, Danny, you know that prison show, and that's all great advice, Daniel. That prison show that you watch, do they do stuff like this?
They get very creative. You know,
some of these positions seem like they could get you into trouble. Well, I'm just going to say.
Right? No, but I will say that, you know, what's interesting about, like, in prison, like, because I have lots of experience in prison.
I was going to say, yeah, when were you in prison?
No, they, you know, they could get in trouble for working out.
Right.
So they got to get really creative. There's, you know, what they use each other's, you know, they're each other's body weight
mm-hmm.
to, you know, like, a good example is, one will be on the other guy's shoulders and they'll do squats.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Or they'll bend. This is going to sound funny. They'll bend over, but one will be on the other guy's back.
Yeah.
And then they'll do. Wow. They'll do leg raises. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
He says, wow.
Don't drop the soap in the shower. Yeah.
But no,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
We got the picture.
It's being creative. But also, you know, sometimes by just keeping it simple, doing push-ups, doing things like bodyweight squats, planks where you do it where you're on your forearms, or you could do planks where you're just holding it in a push-up position.
I did those this morning.
Yeah. Yay. Or you could do a push-up position where you're just holding it at the very bottom or work different phases of the push-ups, right? Stay with some of the very, you know, side planks. If you have the stability to do that. You know, I would stay away, again, from dips because that puts your shoulder in a very compromised position as far as impingement on the shoulder joint.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it, but you really have to know ranges and keep it within your range very tight. I would say for the general practitioner, try to stay away from it. There's other ways you could be creative of just doing more of a narrow push-up is going to be working more triceps.
Mm-hmm.
A wider push-up is going to be a little bit more pecs. And if you want to put more emphasis on your pecs in the wide push-up, try to press in. You're not going to physically be able to move your hands in, but once you get in a wide push-up, when you're pushing yourself up, think about trying to drive your hands in together. Mm-hmm. It creates what's called a resultant force, and it activates more the pectoralis major.
You know, so I know we're talking about convenience, and we haven't really talked. I've never really asked you about a pool. If someone has access to a pool, you know, that's best for someone in, you know, the seniors out there listening, but what do you think about water resistant and swimming and you know, running in waist deep of water?
Yeah, it's going to be very low impact on the joints, so I love it. It's going to, as far as like the actual lifting in the pool, it's going to be hard to get the same resistance / same difficulty levels as doing it, you know, just with gravity. But you can still do really good work. It's actually built a workout for Sean's wife where we did out in the pool because she doesn't like lifting in the gym.
You know, you want something that'll kick your behind is running in waist deep of water.
Yes,
doing
running
sprints.
Or doing like kind of box jumps type stuff where you're not literally boxing, you're not jumping up on a box, but jumping up in the pool and jumping back down. That takes a lot of effort and it's virtually no impact on your joints. So it's a good way to train explosion without doing that.
Well, let me ask you this as a trainer, because I've never asked anyone this. You know, when I go jump back and forth, now last night I danced for 2 hours, but in between those, in the 2 hours when I couldn't get the Sonos system to work sometimes because it's a new, you know, the updates.
Wow.
You had to learn the whole new thing last night. But anyway, I know, I hate it too. But it did allow me a little bit of time after I was already warmed up to, I said, okay, I'll drop down. I'll do some squats or a little bit of weightlifting, you know, just simple stuff.
Yeah.
Because my back's been bothering me, my sciatica. And so anyway, so I thought dancing would be my best option until everything is healed again. And so, but jumping back and forth from lifting weights, like just doing a simple, you know, squat lift, something like that, to dancing, is that good?
Yeah, that'd be fine. It'd be perfectly fine because you're giving yourself a rest from the squat movement pattern as you're doing that. So you're keeping the cardiovascular system up, breathing heavier. Yeah, that's perfect.
Not really building any muscle though, because you have to do like the sets. You have to do the weightlifting in kind of like in sets.
You're
right?
Not building muscle tissue necessarily, but you are building up muscle endurance.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building up a type of muscle strength while you're doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's
good.
I do
that, Bernadette. I do this kind of stuff on one day, and then the weights on the next day.
Yeah, and she rows
and
too.
We're
thinking about starting a One Life Radio row. Rowing team, Rosalie.
Oh, yeah.
I did
That'd
not tell
cool.
you yet. You'll be on the team. She wants to do it. So So I think it's going to be you, me, Carla, and Lexi out on the lake. And
that
you,
would be fun.
You can watch for snakes for me while I row.
Oh, no. I'll be the first one out and gone.
That's so Ivy League of the chicks.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you, like here in Dallas, Texas, the rowing, tell us, Carla, it's only like $400 a year to be a member.
Yeah, sometimes you're the only person on the lake.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
I love to row a single.
And they provide the boats and the everything.
Wow. White Rock Rowing.
Yeah. That's White Rock,
awesome.
White Rock Rowing. That's hard to say. I almost
White
said
Rock.
White Rock Rowing. All right, everyone, we've got a lot more coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hey, call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Are you tired of ho-hum parties? Do people yawn in your backyard? Need to draw attention to your business or set the mood at your restaurant? Lights aren't just for Christmas. They make all your outdoor spaces and celebrations sparkle. Our customers have found the perfect lights to add twinkle to their special occasions for over 10 years. See everything you'll need to light up your life at Christmas Light Source. You can find us at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Carla Palmer in studio with me and Daniel Tagg, and I have Rosalie Robinson here. She is the president and founder of Consilium Human Capital and vice president of human resources for the MEG Retail Group. Rosalie is our in-house human resources expert. She has over 30 years of HR leadership experience working with both Fortune 500 companies and small businesses. She's an experienced executive coach with a certification from the International Federation of Coaches and the University of Texas at Dallas. You can find all of our guest experts at oneliferadio.com, and you can find Rosalie as well at conciliumhc.com. So today we're talking about answering those tricky interview questions. And so what are some of those tough questions that people struggle to answer?
You know, I think the real tough one people struggle with is, tell me about an opportunity that you have, right? Or what's a weakness that you have? Because folks, you know, well, I want the job. I don't want you to know anything that's bad about me, right? You know,
yeah.
It's like when people go out on blind dates, right? I don't want to tell you anything bad about me.
I say make it fun. Say, hey, I swear a lot. Something like that.
Yeah, well, but yeah. That's an interesting answer. It's a whole different path.
Make them laugh, right?
You sure?
And you'd say in such a way where you were exaggerating, obviously, to make them laugh. Yeah. But it is something that would be something I would say.
I probably wouldn't laugh if somebody said that to me in an interview.
You wouldn't,
Rosalie. Okay.
I guess
laugh.
I'm not getting the job.
I wouldn't laugh. Yeah, but it's a good. I mean, here in this arena, I laugh because you know what we do, right? And how we know each other. But I think in an interview, you really want to seriously think about something like, what is a weakness that you have? Because mm-hmm. everybody has developmental opportunities. If you want to go and try and play that you're or portray that you're perfect, that is a clear indicator that, one, you may lack maturity, because mm-hmm. you might lack self-awareness, because you're coming and you really don't have something to share with me that says you've thought about, I have an opportunity, and more importantly, here's how I compensate for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's good to be honest, though, and give them an honest answer, or whatever that weakness may be. Like, I eat too much sometimes. Whatever it is, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's, if it's truly a straightforward interview, you're looking for answers and you have
for sure.
to be honest. I mean,
yeah.
So what are you going to do? Like, I can remember this when I was like not 2 years old. I was in the like second grade, and they line us up in the hall at Catholic school before that we'd have to give confession. And I can remember conjuring up sins so I would have something to tell the priest, you know? So what are you supposed to do? You got to be honest, right? If you delay too long and you're like conjuring up stuff, you're not going to get the job either because they can see you're not honest.
Well, I would agree with you. You want to prepare. So that's one of the things. Everybody probably, if you think about interviews, there's always these tricky questions. There's some companies that ask these really off-the-wall questions like, if you were an elephant, what kind of elephant would you be? And I'm like, okay, really? I don't even know how many different types of elephants there are. I didn't even know there's anything other than big. Okay,
would that be a real question in an interview? I haven't been on an interview in a while, so is that like a real question that somebody would ask?
I have heard there are some companies that ask that question. Or if you were color, what color would you be? And apparently, there's some indicators as to colors that you choose that you align yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less interested in that because I'm not a psychologist, nor are any of my leaders that I task with interviewing psychologists. Most average person who interviews, are trying to ask the question.
So ask me the question about the elephant. Come on.
I wish we had visuals. If you could just see my face right now.
No, ask me the question. I'll try to be as serious as I can.
If you were an elephant, Bernadette, what kind of elephant would you be?
A happy elephant.
Sorry,
I would be hopefully a young elephant in a nice forest or wherever they live. No, they live in the Sahara. Where do they live? They live everywhere, don't they?
They live in forests and live in Africa and in forests in India or India? I don't know.
Yeah, I thought they did. Yeah,
I feel like they live in both.
I sure as hell wouldn't want to be a circus elephant. How does that work
now,
for
there
you?
There you go. Right? But I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as the person getting ready, you got to make sure it's in context, too, to the question.
Yes.
As far as, because this was a funny story. My boss over at Telos, Everett, was interviewing a guy once and asked, what is your biggest weakness? And the guy's like, it's my calves. I can't get them to be really fully developed. And stuff.
That's funny.
Everett cracked up, and the guy did not get hired. So if you're picking your weaknesses, make sure it's relevant to the job. It's not a body part.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was hilarious.
I think that's funny. And he was
he wasn't joking. He was straight serious, and he was a little.
But he
too
was applying for a job at a gym, so it seems understandable that that would be his response.
Yeah, but it was a little too meatheadish.
No?
It was. No. I mean, it was. It has nothing to do with your skill set if your calves are a little too small or not in ratio with the rest of your body as a trainer.
I'm going to be his attorney here, and I'm going to say that maybe he was just trying to be funny.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad he was funny. It was entertaining.
It was.
And if that was what you were going for, it served the purpose.
Okay, so what's the response that you're looking for?
Well, I mean,
and when someone says, what are your weakness? What would be like the perfect response? I don't have any.
That would be a bad response.
Okay.
I don't have any.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be, these are my weaknesses and here's what I'm doing to compensate. Well, you said compensate earlier, but here's what I'm doing to
work
help.
On them.
To get better myself. Right?
That's excellent. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
What would those weaknesses be?
But you didn't name them. So that's what we're getting at here. So that guy, clearly you said he was, it's a little bit of a meathead response, yes, but I'm just trying to be the devil's advocate here and entertain you. And so, but what would be the proper response? Like my weakness is sometimes I stay up too late, but I'm working on that. I don't know.
You always want to think about what's the job I'm applying for, right? Okay. What's this job? What's important in the job? Most people have a description. A lot of them even post competencies. What kind of behaviors, skills are critical to execute the job? And so you want to think about, when I look at my past work history, genuinely, what are the weaknesses? People have usually a range, right?
Like what? Let's get, because I really don't.
One weakness might be I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking. One of my friends always told me, pick a weakness that also has a strength to it.
But that's conniving, see, because you're planning it ahead of time. You're not even getting that's like such a dumb question. I'm sorry, because if you know that's a question that they're going to ask, then you're going to, it's just the whole process is icky. Yep. I just don't even like it. Like, seriously. See,
but it is a part of how you, think about it. When you go to select someone, there's a series of things that companies will do. Everything from assessments that are, designed and more objective, tied to your work, preferably if you can really spend the money to get them tailored in.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you use kind of what we call realistic job previews, videos that let people see what would I do in the job so I can, again, self-select out before I get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you preferably use behavioral-based questions that look at past performance as an indicator of future performance. Sometimes part of that is to say, hey, I just want to throw you some softballs, right? So you get warmed up and more comfortable in the interview process.
Yeah.
these softballs are sometimes viewed as a tricky question. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, tell me about something that is a weakness. Tell me about a time when you failed. What are you really listening for? I'm listening to how you react to failure because it happens every day, mm-hmm. right? And if you're the kind of person who's like, well, I've never failed. Oh, you're lying to me, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to be lying to me.
Or he hasn't tried very hard.
Or you haven't tried very hard.
Really low mm-hmm. bar.
There's something yeah. that's wrong there, right? Or if you look at the question that I also think stymies people, what are your compensation expectations? Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, well, I don't want to tell you because I might not be able to negotiate. Well, why not, right?
There's the weakness.
You know, the answer for you is you got to come prepared with, I know what this job pays in the market. I know mm-hmm. what you've said you're willing to pay. I know what I made before. Here's what I'd like. I can ask for what I'd like, right? All they can say is, well, let me help, you know, frame this for you. Actually, our job is paying between this and this.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've just told me is outside of that. Is this still okay? So now you can either say yes or no, but you have to come prepared with, I know what I was making in my last job. This is what I'm looking to get in my next assignment, and here's why, and then have that honest dialogue.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't want to say something like, as much as you could possibly pay me and still pay the electric bill?
That's awesome.
That's the clown.
That is so awesome. I know. But I could see Bernadette asking that. I'd be saying that.
I haven't been on an interview in a long time. But these questions to me are, I don't know. I guess I'm more lighthearted. I mean, you can feel a person out pretty quickly through conversation over an hour. You don't have to ask them trick questions. All that does is put them off, and then they're afraid to be honest with you. Well, in my opinion.
Or assessments. Like, how often do they do these assessments now? I've heard about mm-hmm. these, and I'm just like, what? Like, I hate them for my children in school. Mm-hmm. All those mm-hmm. crazy assessment tests, and now we have to do them as adults to get a job.
Well, but you know what the interesting thing is? The purpose of the assessment is because it's one objective, right? We have a standard. We've said, here's what people who are successful here usually have as a result, and that's why you use it. It takes out some of the, my gut told me you're a good hire.
Mm. Wow. That was fun. As it always is with Rosalie Robinson. She's a rock star. You can find all of our guest experts at oneliferadio.com. You know, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors because they bring this programming to you. I had my Sun Warrior shake this morning. It was awesome with a little flax milk and a couple of strawberries. My Warrior Blend plant-based protein and vanilla. Full amino acid profile, and it was 100% organic. I feel good. And then I took a couple of drops of Charlotte's Web and some vitamin C and some vitamin D3, and I was ready to go, grab my bottle of crazy water, and I'm out the door. And I used my squatty potty before I left the house. So,
awesome.
How'd you like that?
The full morning.
Oh, my gosh, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. You know what? You get one body. You get one life. And get out there and make the most of it.